Church, if you'll stand with me tonight, turn over to page number 139. Page 139, and let's sing together at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so just remain standing. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Alan Young, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, sir, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this beautiful day. Thank you, God, for the fact that we're here gathered around, Lord, your pulpit tonight to be able to listen to what it is the Holy Spirit has in store for us. I pray that you would be with every song, every prayer, everything that's uttered in this building tonight would be for your honor and your glory. I pray, Father, that you'd be with the preacher tonight. Touch his lips, touch his heart. I pray, God, that we will all be receptive to what it is you'll have us to know in order to grow in grace for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Church, you can be seated. Choir, if you'll remain standing with me, turn over to page number 113. Page 113, and let's sing Glory to His Name. Sing now.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There
seated. Again, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening, and I trust you've had a great day. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us today. We had a great service this morning, and I'm very excited about the moving of the Spirit in this place, and so be much in prayer for the service tonight. Also, understand the ladies had a great meeting, and I understand we may have an actress in the midst of us that we didn't know about. I'm glad I know about it now, though. I think they even may have taken a little bit of a video clip of that, and they'll be sharing it with the drama director this evening. But I understand you've done a tremendous job. We praise the Lord for it. So it was very exciting to hear that. And the ladies had a good turnout and a good time. So we're very thankful for that. But please pray for Pastor tonight as he brings our message. We look forward to what the Lord has for us. Pray for next Sunday. The youth will be in charge of our service. Brother Brian will be speaking next Sunday morning. CJ will be speaking next Sunday night. And we're going to be downstairs next Sunday evening. Is that okay? CJ said that, but I had to clarify. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, brother. That's all. And next Sunday night, we will be downstairs, and we look forward to that. It'll be great services next Sunday. Our youth will be taking care of the music as well. So we'll be praying that the Lord just give us a great day next Sunday. If the Lord tarries, is coming. If not, then we'll see everybody over in glory. Amen?
Yes,
and what a day that's going to be. We look forward to that. Please remember those that are going through some difficult times still physically. And some folks have lost some loved ones over the past couple of weeks. And we want to remember those families in prayer. But again, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace that you've extended to us. Thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. Thank you again for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Lord, what a wonderful day you've given us. Thank you for the meeting that the ladies had, for the speaker, Lord, that they had this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the good report of that meeting. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. You know exactly what is needed for the service tonight. Now bless the offering. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish and burdens can't stay. For the heart that's been broken and wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name. Shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess Him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of His name.
Have you ever felt the Father's love as He holds you in His arms? When you start to say, I'm sorry, He says you've done nothing wrong. Have you failed to meet the standards that you thought you could attain? Only to hear Him call your name, saying you are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. Have you seen your life be torn apart by things you could not help until you finally reached the point where you could only blame yourself? Have you laid your head to sleep and think that you'll always be alone? Then awaken to His voice calling you home, saying you are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are
own personal families that love us, for God so loved the world. How much love is wrapped up in that word "so," I'll never know, but I sure am glad that He put the word "so" there to let us know just how much He loves us. Well, today has been a good day, and really feel like the Lord did a work this morning, and I feel like He wants to do something tonight as well, as He always does in every service. But there may be someone here tonight who is still hanging on from something maybe they should have given to the Lord this morning. And so I feel like the Lord wants to speak a word to you tonight, as we're speaking to everybody. But tonight, we're going to be in Romans chapter number 8 for a few moments. At least we're going to start there in just a moment, in verse number 31. Appreciate the good response this morning down at the altar time. And course, those who responded on Facebook as well. As you're making your way to Romans chapter number 8, verse 31, I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of the presence of God. The presence of God. We have a scripture blanket at home. And sometimes, just indulging me a little bit tonight, the scripture blanket, sometimes at home, as my wife does, from time to time, I wrap myself up in that scripture blanket, and I sit out in my prayer chair in the garage. I do it now for two reasons. It's very, very cold outside, and in the garage it gets cold. But there's times where I wrap myself up in that scripture blanket, and I'm literally wrapping the word around me, and I pray that God would make his word come alive in my heart during those times. I'm talking about times of struggle, times of when the enemy is on your tracks, and you know you're doing the will of God. Sometimes the will of God is hard, I want to say tonight. Sometimes it's difficult. And I was reading yesterday, actually, in the book of Acts, where Paul had to say goodbye to the elders of Ephesus. It was a good goodbye, but nonetheless, it was hard. He loved the Ephesians. And but sometimes the will of God is hard. Sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes people don't understand God's will for your life. And so it makes it that much more difficult and hard. But there's times where I wrap myself up in that blanket. And the main verse on that blanket is Jeremiah 29:11. And I sit down in my prayer chair and I ask God to make His Word that's already alive, come alive in my heart. And as I sit there, sometimes I just wait. I just sit there. No preconceived ideas. I just sit there. And some may think this is funny, but I close my eyes and I envision God's hand with me in His hand, wrapped up in His Word, asking and begging God to make Himself real to me. If you've never been there before, you will. You'll be there. You'll get there. I hope not anytime soon, but again, sometimes we arrive at these places when we get to intersections that's difficult, that's impossible even. So I sit there and wrapped up in the scripture blanket with my eyes closed, asking God to make His Word alive in my heart. And there's never been a time where He has never done that. Each and every time I've done that, God has made His Word alive in my heart. Not just ink on paper, not just a Sunday school lesson or a sermon or a message I've preached before, but God has illuminated His Word to my heart time and time again. And really, the reason I feel He's done that boils down to one word: desperation. When we get desperate for God, God will speak to us. But until that point, I believe if we're not desperate for God and we're just going through the mundane, the routine, our religious exercises, almost in a sense, it's almost being backslidden, because God wants to do amazing things in our life. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And so many times, as we preach this morning, God, He will allow us to be in a broken place. But many times those broken places are the best places. Doesn't feel good, but the nearness of God is real. And I read one time where a bone that's been broken, and it goes to heal as the bandages and the cast is on the bone, that it's stronger after it heals than it was before it was broken. I don't know how true that is, but it really makes good preaching. And the Lord knows how to make himself real to us. And so tonight, I said all that to say this, that the biggest help for me in my life is to know about the presence of the Lord in my life. So that's what I want to try to accomplish tonight, the presence of the Lord, the presence of God as it pertains unto us. Number one, in Romans 8:31, we see that we have God for us. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If the Almighty Jehovah God is for us, who or what can be against us? Doesn't matter if the devil comes up against us. We know what his end is. We know he's already defeated. It doesn't matter if people come up against us. If God is for us, no person can form anything, any idea, any malicious intent that will prosper against us. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Now, I want to say that God, number one, is for us because of investment. Look in verse number 38. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen to this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now I said God is for us because of investment. And I say that because every person that God saves, he is personally invested in your life with his Son. Verse 28 says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So that tells us those of us that are saved that love Jesus, Jesus is in our heart, and God the Father has given us him, and he's invested because of that. He's invested because of the Son in our life. And so the Scripture literally says that there's going to be things that come into our life. There's going to be good things that come into our life. There's going to be bad things that come into our life. And there's going to be the ugly things that come into our life. But as long as we belong to him, and those that are saved do for eternity plus, we know that anything that comes into our life, God is working all things together because he's invested in us. Isn't that a blessing tonight to know that God the Father invested God the Son in our life, and with his precious investment, he's not going to allow us to be thrown to the wind. He's not going to allow us to crumble underneath some load of pressure, some kind of adversity or problem in this world. But no, that's not the case. Because anything that comes into our life tonight must first be filtered through the hands of God. And he allows the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between to work for our benefit and for his glory. He's personally invested tonight. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse number 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God is on a mission tonight. He's on a mission in your life. He's on a mission in my life to do what? To conform me to the image of his Son. The day that I got saved and the day that you got saved, God immediately started to chisel out in your life the things that have to go. I remember a story one time that Bill Stafford said. He's in heaven now. But he said one time he had a preaching conference to go to in Stone Mountain. And he stayed in a hotel across from the actual Stone Mountain. He could see Stone Mountain. And one day he woke up and he seen a group of men, and they were chiseling on that mountain, and they were, and he was thinking, what in the world are they doing? What are they doing? And after a few days, it began to be clear what they were doing. They were removing that which was not part of the picture that they were trying to display on the mountain. Anything that wasn't of a horse had to go. Anything that wasn't of one of those men that were on those horses had to go. So Bill Stafford said that the moment that God saved him, God began to chisel away in his life the things that had to go, so that he, Bill Stafford, can be more like Jesus. Same for you and I tonight. The moment that you get saved, the moment that I get saved, God starts to conform us to the image of his Son. The things in my life that are not pleasing to him, he chisels away. The things in my life that I like but God don't like, he chisels away. And sometimes when he chisels away, it begins to hurt. Sometimes when the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, begins to lay his finger on things in my life, in your life, that has to go, those things hurt sometimes. We know in the book of John, chapter number 15, the book of John 15, I'll just give it to you. He talks about abiding in the vine. He says, abide in the vine. He says, ye are the branches and I'm the vine. And basically he goes down through there and he says that ye must abide in me in order to produce fruit. But he also says there's times where some of those fruit or some of the branches are purged, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so that's exactly what takes place in our life. You see, God, the Father, has predestinated us. That is the end result. That is the plan for all believers to look like Jesus. And so God begins to chisel away as the Holy Spirit in our life. Things we do that's good, that's pleasing to the Father, wonderful. Things we do that's not pleasing to the Father, he chisels away. Sometimes he chisels in areas that you and I wouldn't think that are necessarily bad. And maybe they're not a sin necessarily, but they're not helpful to us. They're not beneficial to us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12 and verse 1, the writer tells us to lay aside every sin. And then he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sometimes in our Christian journey, we have sins we battle with. But then there's other things that come into our life that in the beginning may not have been a sin, but they end up being a weight to us. They weigh us down. They cause us eventually to stumble and not perform well as a believer. And then they become sins. There are things that we do in our life, if we're not careful, they can, while they may not be bad or sinful in nature, they just may not help your Christianity along, may not help you mature in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore it has to go. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient for me. And so he's saying that everything in my life, he says, I'm under grace. I can do anything I want to do, but I won't do everything I want to do because I want to please Jesus. But he says, there are some things in my life that aren't necessarily bad in nature, but they weigh me down. They cause me to stumble. They allow me to struggle. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things help me along to a deeper faith in Jesus. So tonight we see that God is personally invested in our life with the Son. He has predestinated us to be conformed to his image. Verse number 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Tonight, when it comes to the presence of the Lord, We have the Lord for us, and he's for us because of investment. He is personally invested in your life and mine. And because of that, when life is shattered around us, when there's setback and heartache, we can rest in Jesus. We can sit in his hand. We can wrap ourselves up in scripture and know that he is at work, and he is allowing the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything at one time, to promote maturity in our life to be just like Christ. Amen, Brother Justin. Amen. God is for us, and we see that played out in these verses. God is for us because of investment, but God is for us unconditionally. Look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And that "nor things to come" has everything to do with this pandemic and COVID and any other virus that's being brewed right now or incubated, getting ready to be released. Nor things to come. That involves politics. That involves all the rest of it. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is for us unconditionally. And so he mentions all of these things. And again, he says in our main text, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? None of these things. What shall separate us? Shall our trial separate us from God's love? Shall sin separate us from God's love? No. Because he loves unconditionally. And he loves to the end. And he's our Savior through persecution, our Savior through famine. No matter what happens with this COVID-19 and what may happen with all its variants that come out and politics and racism and all the rest of it, no matter what happens with all of those things in our world, nothing, again I say nothing, shall be able to separate us from God's love. He loves us to the end. God loves us unconditionally. God is for us. I get to thinking about some of these sports. Well, baseball, of course, football. Not really a big football fan until UGA won. What do they call that, a bandwagon fan? Braves fan, diehard fan. When I was in my mother's womb, I was doing a tomahawk chop. Diehard Braves fan. But you know, some of these athletes, they have sponsors. And they may have Nike, Under Armour. You know, they may have some Reebok, Adidas, whatever. They may have a sponsor who says, you know what? That is an elite player, an outstanding player. We're going to put our company logo, you know, put him on a commercial, he or she, and put him in a Nike shirt, dribbling a basketball or swinging a bat, and we're just going to sponsor that player. Well, that's fine and dandy as long as they're doing right. That's fine and dandy as long as they're that elite player and abiding by the rules. They have their sponsors. But I'll tell you what about some of these sponsors when it comes to these players in sports. You better believe the first time you mess up, they are dropping you as their athlete. When it comes to Barry Bonds, you remember his steroid usage he had, and he used to cork his bat. He'd walk up to that plate like a monster. And he'd stand that ball come, he'll hit it all the way out there out of the San Francisco stadium and hit one of them canoers right in the ocean right there. Pete Rose, in his episode he had, and all of these players, Mark McGuire, and I'm going back a little bit. But they all had their sponsors. But the moment that they messed up, they were dropped by their sponsor. I want to say tonight that we can draw strength and courage for our heavenly sponsor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how much we mess up, though we don't want to mess up. Doesn't matter how much we fall short. Doesn't matter how much we fail to pray. Doesn't matter if we forget to read our Bible 3 or 4 days. We have a heavenly sponsor that is here to sponsor us from now to kingdom come. What a blessing that is tonight. I'm glad I have such a heavenly sponsor that I do. God is for us. He is for us unconditionally. As the scriptures say, who shall separate us from our sponsor? And he mentions all these things. Nothing shall separate us tonight from the love of Christ. Well, the presence of God, we see that we have God for us. And then we see that we have God with us. Look in Matthew chapter number 1 for a moment, if you would. Matthew 1. God with us. Verse number 23. Listen what the scriptures say. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now tonight we know what the Bible says, Hebrews 13:5, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And praise the Lord for that Hebrews 13:5 promise. But also the very name of God. God is with us by definition. The name Emmanuel, which was already interpreted here in this verse, is God with us. Not only is he for us, he's our sponsor. He's one who goes to bat for us. He's working all things together for good, but he is with us by definition. That's a blessing within itself to know that God is with us by definition. But then something else. God is with us by salvation. Again, Hebrews 13:5 tells us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But turn, if you would, to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 for just a moment. God is with us by salvation. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 43. In verse number 1 and 2, we know that Isaiah is talking about Israel and God. But I believe tonight it's safe to use the individual person. The truth is still the same here. Now in verse number 1, we have what I call us verses. Us verses. And in verse number 2, we have what I call him verses. H-I-M. And so we have us in him in these verses. Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Again, these are us in him verses. You say, what do you mean, brother, just us in him? Notice in verse number 1, we see the us verses. He said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. He said created and then used the word formed, basically meaning the same thing, that God created his people Israel. But God also created us. He is creator God to everyone. Then when a person accepts Jesus, he is not only creator God, but he is a savior to them. But God also created us. He is creator God to everyone. Now, the Bible says in Genesis that we are made in the image of God. We are a triune image, body, soul, and spirit. And so God not only created and formed Israel, but He created and formed all of us. He is Creator God. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. My body is what you see. My spirit is that ability to be reconnected to God the Father through God the Son. And my soul is who I am. It's my personality. Well, both Jeremiah and David, among others, talk about how they were put together in the womb. He mentions the muscle and the bone, the ligaments and the joints. An interesting verse is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 5. Talking about who knows the way of the Spirit and how God does form man in the womb. All the bones and the joints and the ligaments. Said all that to say this, that He is Creator God. He created Israel, but He also created us. We are in a triune image tonight. And so our us verse has to do with verse number 1. Not only did He create and form man, but He redeemed as well. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. God had set in motion a redemptive plan to rescue, to save fallen man, to give the hope of heaven and purpose on earth to man. There is a redemptive plan in place tonight. For those who do not know Jesus personally, God wants to redeem you. And for all of us who have been redeemed, we're praising the Lord that one day we'll be in God's very presence. But God rescued His people, Israel, in the Old Testament that were in bondage in Egypt over 450 years. He brought them out of Egypt by the hand of Moses, and they were on this exodus to make their way into Canaan land. And eventually, one day beyond the blue, they made it in to Canaan land. That was God's place for them. That was God's place of blessing for them. That was their forever residing place while on earth was Canaan land. And so, in like manner, this is a picture of God's redemption for us. If we accept His salvation plan with a heart of faith and repentance, we too can be redeemed, freed from our bondage of sin, having a residing place in heaven one day, purpose on earth now. You see, verse number 1 has to do with us verses. So we see that the Bible says, created thee, O Jacob, formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. God had a redemptive plan in place. But not only that, but notice the word called here. He says, I have called thee by name. God has called everyone to salvation. But it's up to us to answer the call. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 22:14 that many are called, and few are chosen. So God in heaven is ringing the phone of salvation through every pastor, every preacher, every teacher, every Christian. And it's up to the other person to accept that call, to pick up the phone and say, yes, I will accept your salvation plan. Y'all stay with me tonight. Talking about us verses. And going back to the original point number 2, that God is with us. He has created us, formed us, redeemed us, called us, and then He has owned us. Verse 1 again, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. Israel were and is still God's chosen people. But when we answered the call to salvation, we are now and we became owned by Him. And so He will be a father to us. And He's the one who leads us and guides us. Like in the Old Testament, with the cloud by day and the fire by night, He led Israel out of Egyptian bondage all the way into Canaan land. He was a father to them. He's a father unto us tonight. He leads us. He guides us. And so in verse number one is the us verses. But in verse number two is the him verses. Notice verse number two. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. These are him verses. Now, the word here that's first mentioned, when thou passest through the waters, speaking of adversity. Adversity tonight is not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And although this has to do with us, but it also has to do with him. Because we belong to him, everything we come in contact with is also involving him. We are connected to him, and because of that, he responds to us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And so we see tonight that the person who is redeemed by God's redemptive plan has a promise of, I will. He says, when you go through those tough times, I will be with you. I am a father to you. I will be with you. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. So tonight, if you're a child of God, you can claim this promise that he will be with you. So we see tonight, when it comes to the presence of God, God is not only for us, but he's with us. When the waters are deep and we're in over our head, he's with us. When the fire is burning and has burned everything in our life, God is with us. What a blessing because of that. Now let me mention one more thing. God is for us. God is with us. And then God is in us. God is in us. John chapter number 14. For just a moment. John 14. God is in us. The disciples, I'm sure, at many times toward the end of Christ's earthly ministry, when he started to talk about going to the cross, going back to the Father, I'm sure they got saddened within their spirit. And the Lord knew that they needed a word concerning who he was and their future. And so he gives them a word in John 14. He says in verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Those disciples, they needed to be comforted. I don't know about you, but have you ever had someone, a friend, a relative, or someone you just dearly love, they had to move away, or you had to move away? I remember growing up, so many times we had to move away, going to all these different schools, and it seemed like just about the time we'd get settled in a school, get signed up for baseball and play and get all these good friends, it just seemed like that, you know, mom and dad said, son, I'm sorry, but we got to move again. See, listen, I'm not saying this to make anybody feel bad for me, because this was, you know, this was 30-something years ago, but we stayed at a place as long as we could pay the rent. And then when dad couldn't pay the rent, mom couldn't pay the rent, we had to move. Many times we got evicted and we lived on food stamps and all those things growing up. But it just seemed like every time we'd get settled in somewhere, you know, I had to move. And I can remember riding in that station wagon going down the highway many times from Alabama to Georgia, from Mississippi to Georgia, to Florida to Georgia. You say, where were you going in Georgia? So many times, my grandma's house, where she's been for over 50 years. But I just remember crying my eyes out, so sad. The hurt in my heart was just so bad. It just hurt so bad because I had to leave, or a friend had to move from where we were. Can you imagine how these disciples, although Jesus says he was coming back, I mean, he walked with them, he talked with them, he performed miracles. And the Lord knew, though, they needed a comforting word. And so he told them, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What a blessing tonight to know not only those disciples, they received the Holy Ghost, but all of us who are saved receive the Holy Ghost. He's not leaving us comfortless. He's not here in person, but he's in us. You see, we make up the body of Christ. And when we all come together, we can see the effects of the Son of God working. People coming to the altar, people singing his praises, the gospel being preached and taught in Sunday school, love abounding, needs being met. And it really goes outside the four walls of this church. During the week, when a person has a burden, they call and they share that with a church member. Someone has a need that needs to be met. That's the arms and feet of Jesus. Nobody's supposed to be left comfortless. Nobody's supposed to be in need when the body of Christ is operating like it should be. Now, when he deposited his spirit within us at salvation, ultimately that is our comfort. But belonging to the local church, there's extensions of that comfort. Someone has a need, someone has a burden, someone has a care. And so the hands and feet of Jesus reach out to each and every person. He will not leave us comfortless. But nonetheless, we have God in us. He says that he will deposit his spirit in us at salvation. In verse number 18, he comforts. And then in verse number 26, he teaches. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Teach you all things. And then this Comforter, not only he comforts, he teaches, but he reminds. I'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He goes on, he says, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. We have God in us tonight. God in us. We have God with us tonight. And then we have God that is for us. He is personally invested in your life. He's not going to waste any trial. He's not going to waste any dilemma. He's not going to waste anything. Even the things that maybe we failed to do. Maybe we've dropped the ball, and maybe we've sinned and fallen short. He still uses that in our life to conform us to the image of his Son. I don't know about you tonight or not, but it helps me when I think about and learn about the presence of God in my life. In those rough mornings, those late nights, when I have trouble in my spirit and my heart, and I wrap myself up in that scripture blanket and sit in my prayer chair and close my eyes and think about me sitting in God's hand, dwelling on His presence and bringing these scriptures to my mind, it helps me in that moment, and I'm able to move forward. So I hope the same will be a help to you. Father, we love You tonight. We praise You, Lord, for who You are, for what You do, Lord. Thank You for allowing us to just elaborate a little bit on Your presence, Lord, our life. There's so much more that can be said. Lord, I hope I didn't say anything that shouldn't have been said. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that needs to just come to the cross and cry out to You, I pray the night tonight will be that night. Maybe there's someone here, someone watching that's not saved. Lord, allow someone to guide them to the Scriptures that they may know they have eternal life. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this evening. If you need to come, you come on down.
Have Thine own way.
Come on down on the first verse. You'll be glad you did.
Thou art the power. I am the
king. Those on Facebook, this is your invitation as well.
Mold me and make me after Thy will.
Anybody else tonight need to come?
You did and still.
It's the promises of God that get us through.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
It's not something you always feel, but it's the truth we have.
Search me.
Play softly for a second. I know we have one down here praying. I did want to mention a moment ago that Miss Chris Watkins is having surgery on Tuesday. I believe she's having hand surgery. I reached out to her today and told her we'll be praying for her, and I'll mention her tonight. So remember Miss Chris Watkins. Remember all those that's battling COVID. We're praying for the Prestridges tonight. Lord, touch them. And again, Miss Carla's doing better. So we praise the Lord for that. And anybody have anything else they want to mention or share before we close out the service tonight? All right. Well, it's been good to be here and so good to see everybody. And I pray everybody has a wonderful week this week and find time to just sit alone with the Lord and refresh your mind and heart with His promises. It'll get you through every time. All right. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and everyone have a blessed and safe night. Brother CJ, you close out.